A word of explanation. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, February 19, 1902. Typed. After purchasing my home in this place, I selected a piece of land on which my son Willie might build a house for himself. I found on my place a knoll, sloping on all sides, and covered with beautiful madrone, pine, fir, and live oak trees, which are always green. The knoll was not suitable for cultivation. On it were piles of large rocks that could be utilized for foundations, stone walls, and many other purposes. The evergreens stand at just the proper distance from the building site. Not a shade tree will have to be planted. The location is healthful. Just at that time, different ones solicited us for building sites, saying, "I want a small piece of land on which to build. Cannot you sell me a lot? Ever since we settled here, such requests have been made of us. But I did not want many buildings and families crowded up close to my home, and if I were to sell a piece of land to one person and refuse to sell to others, I should be regarded as unfair. Besides, we had agreed with the managers of the food factory not to consent to sell small lots and allow families to crowd in on every spare piece of uncultivated land. For these reasons, we requested the business agent at the sanitarium to find out for what price we could purchase the large hill and the land surrounding it, which lies just across the road from my place. We thought that on this could be put up the cottages for which so many were asking, and also a building for a church school. For this property, the owner asked $6,000. She finally agreed to take $5,000. I was not clear about the matter, but said that I would give $4,000 for the place. Even this amount I should have been obliged to hire. I carried the matter to the Lord, and prayed that if it were not best to buy the property, the owner should refuse my offer of $4,000. She did refuse, and I was relieved of this responsibility. Then several brethren came to my son and said, "Cannot you enlarge your building plans? We would agree to take rooms in your house, for it is close to the food factory and would be very convenient for us." My son and I talked the matter over and decided that the best thing to be done would be to build a house large enough to accommodate some of these brethren. We felt satisfied that this was the best thing that could be done. The money was hired, and the house was built. It is a plain, substantial structure, and has been put up without an extravagant outlay of means. Four families, besides my son and his family, will occupy the house. My son hopes that the association of those thus brought in connection with one another will be mutually helpful. This is the reason for the building of such a large house. It is to accommodate some of the workers in the food factory. There seemed to be no other course to pursue after deciding not to purchase the $5,000 place, which would have provided building sites for many families. I am very glad that wisdom has thus been exercised. The money received for rent will meet the interest that my son will have to pay. The house is built in such a way as to recommend it as an object lesson of simplicity, neatness, and thoroughness. Thus, all buildings should be constructed. I had my office built as plain can be. It is a neat, unadorned structure, and whenever it is not needed for its present use, it can be utilized as a dwelling house. It has not been built for show, but good, substantial work has been put into it. This is also true of my wash house. All the buildings that are put up in the neighborhood of the sanitarium should stand as witness for the truth. Everything should be such as will bear the inspection of believers and unbelievers. I write this about my son's house because several have raised questions about the propriety of erecting such an expensive building. But if the Lord calls upon us to leave this place, it will be seen that we are ready to go. If at any time the sanitarium wants the whole valley, we shall rejoice in the Lord and say, "Take it, if you can thereby enlarge your work and your influence." We would move, asking the Lord to direct us to some other retired place. I am wedded to no place on earth. I have often given my brethren and sisters evidence that I realize that in this world we have no continuing city, but that we seek one to come. We are pilgrims and strangers, looking for a better country, even a heavenly. We say this much in explanation.